Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. The Church, as always, gives us tremendous readings for us to be able to reflect on. I think they're particularly poignant, given the challenging times that we're living through here in the States. Pray for God's wisdom and for God's grace. And so most of the week, we'll take up passages from the St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, continuing what we looked at last week. But what I'd like to begin with this morning is the gospel from yesterday. It's Jesus being confronted by the Pharisees, who are always trying to get him to stumble, and asking him the question about the law and what's the greatest of the commandments. And I love Jesus' response in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. It says, "When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, 'Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?' He said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments.'" The line in Matthew's gospel here that caught my attention is Jesus saying, this first commandment, the radical love of God, the abandonment of our whole lives and trust to Him from the heart, from the core of our being, from our soul, from our mind, the whole person radically surrendered in love to God, is the greatest and the first commandment. Jesus is telling us that it's the greatest and the first thing. It comes first before anything else. And it's literally the greatest thing any of us could do. It's the foundation of the greatest life that can be lived by a human being, to put first things first and to put the first commandment in the first place in our mind, heart, and soul. I mean, this is what Jesus did. This is the fundamental thing Jesus revealed. He also revealed the second commandment, among other things. But at the center of Jesus' life was what he wanted to communicate to you and me, to all of us, is what moved him first and foremost above all things. John chapter 14, verse 30, 31 in there, he talks with the apostles. I mentioned this on the program before in the past. Beautiful, beautiful passage. Maybe to me, one of the most intimate, maybe the most intimate revelation of Jesus just sharing with his friends what motivates him above all things. It's part of the Last Supper discourse that we touched on, and Jesus says to his brothers and those gathered with him, he said, "I won't be with you much longer." And he gets their attention with that line. He said, "Because the devil's coming after me." Number one, that also must have got their attention. Jesus was communicating to them the showdown, which was about to come. This climactic spiritual conflict was about to occur. And Jesus wanted the apostles to see it as he saw it, because he knew when it began, when the drama began, when the devil's hour began to unfold, he knew what was going to happen in the apostles, that their weak and sinful natures were going to be manifested. And he wanted to understand them to understand why he was going to the cross, and the fact that he was in control of the whole process, and it wasn't disaster as it will look like, but it'll be a sign of contradiction. And what he reveals in it at the heart of his motive for permitting it to happen and his dying on the cross, he wanted his best friends, those he gathered around him, to understand what was happening. And he said very simply, he said, "The devil's coming after me, but the devil has no hold on me." So that's Jesus making it clear who's in charge. He said, "But I do all that the Father commands me." So in other words, he's saying to them, the devil's not in charge, but I'm doing what the Father commands me to do. And then you could ask the question, why? He said, and this I think is the moment in the passage that communicates the heart of Jesus so beautifully. He said, "I do all that the Father commands me because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. Why did Jesus go to the cross? First and foremost, because he loved the Father. Yes, for God sent his Son into the world, you know, to save you and to save me. For God so loved the world, and Jesus loves us, and he laid down his life for us. We're his friends. That's the second commandment, right? Love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And he said, this is what the first and the second commandment look like, lived out. I'm giving to my Father what belongs to my Father. I'm loving him with my entire heart, soul, and mind. I'm doing that by obeying his commandments. And Jesus, how many times did Jesus teach the apostles? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The keeping of the commandments from the heart is the love language of heaven, you might say. It's being obedient, surrendered, grateful, thankful, motivated, our life directed back to God in an offering. And so Jesus shows us from the cross, and every Sunday and every time we celebrate Mass, this act of love by which we all have been saved, the shed blood of Jesus, the offering of his whole life to the Father as a gift, and a yes, a total yes to the Father's will. He's not only communicating to the Father from his heart to the Father's heart, this most intimate, intimate trust in the Father, willingness to give everything in obedience to the Father, to declare, to take away the lie from the garden, the devil's deception, to try to get us to ask the question, really, to contemplate the question even, is God trustworthy? Are his commandments good? Is he out for your benefit or not? And the devil raises doubt and separates and freezes man to trust only in himself and not to trust and abandon himself to God. And Jesus just freely offers himself and says, my Father's totally trustworthy. There's no safer place. I don't care if I'm hanging on a cross and bleeding to death and humiliated and abandoned by everybody. The safest place to be is with my Father. And to love him with the love that we've loved each other through all eternity. And in that same act of love, he's showing us this is what greatness looks like, friends. This is the whole meaning of human life. So to radically love the Father in obeying his commandments. And then Jesus said, then he laid down his life for his friends at the same time, for you and me. And by the shedding of his blood, he broke the hold. He broke the devil's reign over the human race through the powers of sin and death. And he cleansed us. And that death, we're united to him in baptism. So he gives us an opportunity to experience the consequences of that act of love toward us, who he now calls his friends. Love of God and love of neighbor is the definition, friends, of greatness. You can achieve the greatest popularity of anybody the world has ever seen. You can acquire more money and more influence than anybody in the world has ever seen. But if you fail to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor, you die a failure. You could be hidden from the world, totally misunderstood, mocked, rejected, looking like a failure. Like Jesus looked like a failed Messiah on the cross, which is one of the reasons why he prepared the apostles for what was coming and his motive and what it was all about. Jesus makes it possible for all of us, no matter how rich, how poor, to fulfill our destiny. And the poorest among us, the least educated, the simplest, can be the greatest, because their love could be the greatest for God and for neighbor. This is this is heaven's definition of success. This is what will get rewarded, what will get crowned. This is what God will hand out trophies in heaven, so to speak. He'll reward those who live this life. These are the ones who Jesus loves to call his friends, because we love what he loves. I mean, he opened his heart there to the apostles and said, brothers, I do this because I want you to know, and I want everyone to know, that what moves me, why I'm here, what this is all about, first and foremost, is that I love the Father. And I want to teach you what love looks like. I want to teach you the definition of love, that it's a radical abandonment of your life and trust to God in obedience to say, your will be done, not my will be done. It's such a precious gift. And then Jesus ensures through the gift of the Eucharist and the mission of the church that this act of love, which alone saves the world and brings down the kingdom of darkness, and it's a perfect offering to God. It's a perfect act of love. It gives to the Father what all of creation, so to speak, is meant to give back to the Father, just a thanksgiving and total gratitude and total surrender to who he actually is. And Jesus ensures that this sacrifice will be represented again and again and again throughout the world until he comes in glory to judge the living and the dead, to reveal who indeed followed me, Jesus is saying, to love as I loved, and to who gave to my Father what belongs to him, and who recognized their neighbor and laid down their life for him or for her. This is what's at the heart of everything. This is what the kingdom is. And those who are disciples of Jesus, we need to raise up and value and reward, honor, recognize, encourage, do whatever we can in a world that has so many counterfeit definitions of greatness and so many idols that we radically pursue, and we reward people for secondary things, tertiary things, and we don't reward people because this is the kingdom of the world. It's not the kingdom of God. But in the church, we need to honor and hold up, teach and preach and live and help each other under the grace of the Holy Spirit to be able to live in this love. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and he'll teach us everything. He'll give us the power to live a new way of life. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. What does abiding mean? Really, it's talking with Jesus, walking with Jesus, listening to Jesus, believing his promises, following his leadership, putting him at the center and developing our relationship with him in the way, with the kind of intimacy that he had with the Father, to live like his children, to come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, be able to call God really from our core, not just our mind, but from the heart, from the soul, from the very core of our whole being, to call God Father. This is really worthy, friends, in this hour to ask ourselves the question, what does my life look like? How am I expressing the first commandment? How do I run after this opportunity that the Lord has given to me? And how am I relating to my neighbor? You know, what kind of love? How do I speak about my neighbor? Am I mirroring what Jesus has modeled for me? And so we're going to look at Ephesians this week. Some of the readings dial into what love looks like, what it doesn't look like. I want to touch on these because there's a lot there for us. Friends, and it's so timely right now with the intensity of our politics and our culture and the divisions and the rage and the hostility and the confusion and the uncertainty. We need to be standing on the rock and doing what God wants us to do. Love him with all our heart and our neighbors ourselves. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.